Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. We have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from Out Across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us online Dr. Dennis Keddie, who has written the 20th part of his series on mental health education and social control. And what you must understand is that they took over control of the mass media here in America years ago so that they could mold our minds, so they could form our taste, so that they could suggest our ideas and essentially control what the American people think. And Dr. Keddie has done an amazing series of on this subject. In fact, we carry his book on what mental health testing, mental health control, from part 4 to part 16 of this series. We carry that. It is available through Radio Liberty, and we recommend it to you. But Dr. Keddie keeps writing on this because everything has to do with thought control. Control the thoughts of the people. You control the people. Dr. Keddie, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's get into this latest issue, because this is an ever-growing struggle. They intend, of course, to take over America by controlling the minds of the people and simply using these various mental health approaches, whether it be the New Freedom Initiative, by which they're going to forcibly medicate our children, or whether it would be all these other mental health screening programs, and, of course, through the use of the media to control our emotions, control our tastes, control our reality.
That's right. And the series, the two book, well, it's actually a booklet that you have, the first one called National Mental Health Program Parts 1 through 4, and then the second one has a different title, Mental Health Screening, Parts 5 through 15. It's, they're companion books together, and they're not just looking at the issue of mental health or mental health screening. The subjects that are covered are mental health, education, and social control, because mental health and education are used, among other things, as tools for social control. There's a long history to it. We've talked in the past about it, how they use definitions, recognized authorities, studies, tests, psychological manipulation, and so on. And it's a gradual process, but it seems to be like H.G. Wells said, they would speed up. He referred to it as the world state, the coming world state, and he said it would be a socialist world state. And he was saying this some, you know, 60 or 70 years ago. And what they what they do often, and it applies not only to mental health but education in various subjects. In education, for example, what they do is often not a direct assault, like, okay, we don't like you in your Christian school, so we're going to pass a law banning Christian school. They don't do that sort of thing. What they do is through rules and regulations, maybe accreditation requirements, certification requirements, they create a situation in which people are coerced into voluntarily doing what they want. It's very much like we've talked in the past about what the power elite's global strategy is, or one of their tactics. They create situations and they use the public's reaction to the situation to further their goals. And so in education, for example, and I'll mention how this happens in mental health in a minute, in education, for example, they will say, well, you know, you can have your Christian school or your home school, but you do understand that it's really important for the teacher to be certified.
We're going to be back in just a moment here with Dr. Dennis Keddie as we talk about how they're going after the control of the heart and the minds and souls of our children. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I guess this afternoon is Dr. Dennis Cuddy. We're talking about mental health and mental health control of our population. And Dr. Cuddy has written a series of articles. We have the first four on mental health control here as a pamphlet, and then we have a book on mental health, which is part 16 to part... five through 16 of his series, and then of course now we're up to part 20, and this is just up on the internet. You can pull it down on at newswithviews.com. It was just posted yesterday, but it's vitally important that people understand that there is an organized effort to control our reality and to manipulate us and to actually control both sides of every discussion. And, of course, you will have your conservatives, and you'll have your liberals. You have your right and your left, your Democrats and Republicans, but they never talk about the real issues. And but even more than that, of course, what they're doing to our children in the schools. And Dr. Cuddy was just talking about how they let us have our Christian schools. They let us have our private schools, but they insist on accredited teachers. They insist on sex education. After all, children have to learn about sex, and they enforce basically into many of the churches many of these ideas that they're bringing into the secular educational system. Pick up the story there, Dr. Cuddy.
Okay. Basically, what they do is, rather than say we're going to ban, let's say, Christian schools or homeschools, they say, well, you do want qualified teachers. Okay, well, fine. Then the state will have to certify them. And, of course, to be certified, you have to go through their colleges of education. You have to take their humanistic psychology courses, and so they get you that way. Or let's say you have your child in a public school, and there's this comprehensive sex ed that you don't like, and you have 4,000 people rally against it, and you protest, and you get the school board to remove the superintendent, and you say, hooray, what a success we've had. The problem is that the system requires the next superintendent to also have a certain educational doctorate degree from a recognized institution of higher learning in their college of education. So you're pretty much going to get the same type of person because the requirements are that way. The person fulfilling that position has to have jumped through those certain hoops, the progressive educators. So what you have in, let's say, charter schools is another example. They'll say, okay, we understand you don't like the public schools, and you want to have the freedom to choose your own curriculum, and yeah, okay, fine, you can have this charter school, but you do understand that it is still a state school.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Cuddy is saying they play games with us. They say, sure, you can have your Christian school, but, of course, we're going to have certified teachers there. You wouldn't want your children not to get a good education. You can have your chartered school, but and you can have any sort of a curriculum you want, but it's still financed by the state. So pick up the story there.
Right. They'll have some money for, you know, computers or whatever it is, and a lot of the schools, private schools, Christian schools, are hard pressed for money, and so they'll take those dollars, and what they'll do is the teachers who are in the schools have to be certified, the school has to be accredited, or you voluntarily, you know, say, well, yes, I do want to do this. Now, why would you want to do that if you're Christian school? Well, the thing is, a lot of times colleges will look at a student in their selection, and it's very competitive to get into college, and they'll say, well, we are selecting students who come from accredited schools, and so you, quote, voluntarily belong to the California Accreditation Association, or, you know, whatever they call it out there. And the same thing goes on with charter schools in the sense that, okay, you can have your charter school, you can have your independent curriculum, we understand you don't like the public school's curriculum, all right, but since you're still a state school, we do want your students to take the state test, the state assessment, to be sure, you know, that you're getting a good education. Well, the trick there is that if you go along with that, what happens is you have to change your, quote, so-called independent curriculum to fit the state's curriculum. Otherwise, your youngsters won't do well. We had a charter school that on a California achievement test was scoring about 84%, doing fairly well. But they literally, you know, flunked out on the state's test because they, in, I think it was the fifth grade, weren't teaching Judy Blume as part of their literature. So for the school to survive, you have to change so you become so much like the public school that you had left, you know, because you didn't like what was going on, that there's not much difference. And so there are these various mechanisms that they will do in that sense. Same thing with sex ed. You'll come along and you'll say, well, sex ed, we object to that. Okay, we'll have an opt-out provision. The problem sometimes, and this is where we'll get back to the mental health, is the opt-out provision is oftentimes a provision that you have to find out what's going on, and you have to write a letter, and you have to tell them, you can't have my child in the school. Now, if they're not required to tell you what's going on, or if it's all up to you rather than up to them, well, they can say, well, you know, I thought we sent a notice home with your child telling you that tomorrow there was going to be this particular presentation, and you mean your son didn't bring it home? Well, you know, that's not our fault. You know, we gave it to you. So they play these games, and that's where mental health screening comes in as well. It's really important when they say, oh, sure, we the school system or we the health department or for parental consent, that you understand that this is really important to have fully informed parental consent in the sense of you have to actually sign a statement. This is an opt-in. You have to, as a parent, sign a statement, have it sent to the school with your signature saying, yes, I want you to screen my child for some mental health problem. Because the other way, the opt-out provision has a whole panoply of things that can go wrong with it. You know, your child can lose the form coming home, the post office can lose it, you may misplace it on a table somewhere, there's all kinds of things. And so you really have to be up to speed on what they're doing.
They may just not even send it home, but they say they sent it home, and how are you to, of course, differ with them? And the trouble is, Dennis, I think there's an organized effort to corrupt the morals of our children, and they're doing a great job of it. Look and see what's happening to our kids today. We have 65 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease, the end result of an organized agenda. 65 million. Those are the CDC's figures. We'll be glad to give them to anybody who wants to question that.
Right, and the whole premise, back when this started about 30, 40 years ago, there were all kinds of figures coming from Sweden and Denmark and so on, that comprehensive sex ed would lead to these things, STDs, VD, and so on. And I remember at the time, about 25 years ago, when I went to the federal government, I got in some trouble. I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it was fine. But what happened was I would write some of my first articles in the Department of Ed. Well, one of my duties was to write articles on what's wrong with education, how to solve it, and so on. And I would send them all over the place. And one of them was going through the details of what happened with comprehensive sex ed, and I was publishing some Alan Guttmacher or Planned Parenthood figures that showed, you know, when 15-year-olds are introduced to comprehensive sex ed, they're going to try to have sex earlier. I mean, their own studies showed that, you know, this amazing revelation.
And they knew exactly what was going to happen, but they wanted to corrupt the children, and they did it.
Yeah, and the way I got in trouble was up in New Jersey, it has a very strong Planned Parenthood element, and so what I put a phrase in there, I said, since sex education in New Jersey is now mandated K through 12 and nothing else is, for what profession are they planning children to enter, you know, and oh my word, the Department of Ed got a letter from Planned Parenthood up there, said, what is he doing? This is outrageous, and so on.
But of course, the trouble is they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the public to know exactly what they're doing, because this is what Margaret Sanger wanted. I mean, she encouraged promiscuity. And she herself was promiscuous and was openly defiant of her marriage vows and was having intimate relationships several times a day with different men.
Oh, yeah, especially later on with the young ones. She said, I'm intelligent, I've got money, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do. And then she did.
And, of course, this is her legacy is being taught in our schools today, and that, of course, the legacy of Aleister Crowley, who said, do what thou wilt, that is the whole of the law. And that is exactly what they're teaching our kids today. Because since there is no God, why shouldn't the kids do whatever they want to?
Yeah, and the the outcome of that is, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but it's important in that Christian leaders, I think, for 40 years have dropped the ball. We huffed and puffed when they took out school prayer, but what we didn't do was say, the reason you say the government, the courts are doing this is, you know, separation of church and state, government neutrality. Well, are you still teaching values? Well, yes. Okay, and God is not the moral authority? Well, no. So there's some different moral authority that you're teaching Johnny and Janie what's right and wrong? Well, yes. Well, then how is that neutrality? That's not neutrality. That's discrimination. We're at home teaching the God of the Bible says these things are right and wrong, while you're at school saying there's some different moral authority for saying what's right and wrong. We should have been yelling for 40 years, and we still aren't. I call up some of the Christian leaders. I'm not going to give their names, but the leading ones. And I keep saying, why don't you do this? Why don't you do it? They just don't. They're on to other things for some reason. And so we've, you know, 2-3 generations now of these youngsters have been pounded with situation ethics and moral relativism. And we've really dropped the ball on that. And it all fits, like you were saying, with a larger plan. It's sort of, as far as Sanger is concerned, a eugenic mentality. Sanger didn't get her stuff from Hitler. Hitler got his stuff from Sanger. And this whole eugenic, Cold Spring Harbor at the turn of the 1900s, Carnegie funded a Rockefeller project. John D. Rockefeller is the one who introduced Margaret Sanger to the big money people, got her birth control league going and so on. All part of this eugenic mentality. 1912, this first international eugenics congress. All the big shots were there. Charles Eliot of Harvard, president, Winston Churchill, you name it. A lot of people, one of the most avid individuals in terms of forced sterilization was Woodrow Wilson when he was governor of New Jersey. I mean, there was a pervasive eugenic mentality that carried right on through after the Second World War with Sir Julian Huxley. As the first Director General of UNESCO saying, now this is right after everybody's, you know, had enough of Hitler, and his mindset, here's Julian Huxley with UNESCO saying, well, you know, we've got to have a world government, we've got to get people to think about eugenics, you know, that's just the way it's going to be in the future. And so we've had that, as we've discussed in the previous show, there was like a 30-year plan about 30 years ago to have a Terry Schiavo situation called the Alethea Report, you know, step by step, year by year, how they manipulate the media and so on. So the reason I have this title of Mental Health, Education, and Social Control is that mental health and education are two, not the only, but two of the leading components that the power elite uses in terms of developing social control mechanisms over us. And in terms of the current piece that I just had up yesterday, part 20 in the series, what I did there is there are some really rather powerful quotations. And so I basically used those quotations to give examples. The first one to show how this impacts, because a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, they're just concerned about youngsters who might have schizophrenia or psychosis of some type, was to show how they use these language terms, these requirements. And the first one that I give was the Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities. And there's this group called Love in Action. It's, you know, basically a Christian group. It's a mental health supportive living facility. And they informed these people, these are Christians, Christian ministry, that it has to stop its operations, this mental health supportive living facility, by September 30th. This was some weeks ago, if it didn't apply for a license. See, that's just like I mentioned with education, like accreditation, certification. You've got to come to the state and get a license or comply with that department's demands. And the legal counsel for the outfit, and Nate Kellum for the Alliance Defense Fund, which is representing them, claims that the state is, quote, trying to turn a Christian ministry into a state-regulated mental hospital, end quote. Now, that's important because in previous parts of this series, I mentioned how there, at the same time that the New Freedom Commission, which is the impetus for this whole series, was begun several years ago, at about the same time that was happening, the National Science Foundation, the National Institute of Mental Health, had a over $1 million study looking at the issue of mental illness and mental health. And one of the things that the experts said, these experts from Johns Hopkins and Stanford and so on, were saying is that if people have certain dogmatic beliefs, if they have a dogmatic outlook or authoritarian outlook, they may be individuals who have mental health problems, and of course you have to be treated if you have these problems.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 on the route down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book anywhere that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. 4,000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Dr. Dennis Cuddy. And Dr. Cuddy has worked at the Department of Education during the Reagan administration. He's taught at the university level. He's testified before Congress. He's a prolific writer, and we carry a number of his books here at Radio Liberty. But today we're talking about his Part 20 on the mental health education and social control. And you must understand there is a master program for what's going on in our schools. And the last thing is they want the average parent to know. Now, there are an awful lot of good teachers in our schools, but they don't really understand what's going on. They've been taught that this is the thing to do. Oh, we've got to teach kids all about sex and suicide and death and situational ethics, and we certainly could never mention God, or there's a right and wrong, or there are absolutes, or maybe you should not be having premarital sex because you have to decide whether that's right or not. It's what's right for you. And we tell you about the same thing with drugs and sex and tobacco, and it's all what you make the decision. And what 15-year-old can make an intelligent decision? What 25-year-old can make an intelligent decision? That's the problem we have. You have to have some guidelines to go by. And that's why, of course, they had to get the Bible and prayer out of schools. So with that as a background, Dr. Cuddy, pick up the story.
Okay. the points you just raised are you know, important to mention at this time, because you have to ask yourself, why are they doing these these things? For example, many years ago when I, again, was with the Department of Education, we had a one of our duties was as part of the department that funded research around the country. We had to monitor labs and centers if they got federal funding, and mine particular one I was monitoring was the Center for Social Organization of Schools at Johns Hopkins University. And they would ask students almost to, you know, say what was going on in their home. You know, they were, you know, saying, well, your family, your parents do this, that, or the, or the other. And you have to ask them, now, why would they want to know this? And why would they, for example, say we need death education? Youngsters aren't thinking about death, but if you feed them enough death education, they'll start thinking about death.
And the same thing with suicide education and sex education and all of these things that they're funding into their minds. Why are you doing that unless you want to corrupt them?
That's right. And one particular example, and I wrote up something and had it in the Washington Post on this, showing a little chart as to when this stuff was introduced, and you saw a real spike in the number of suicides. For example, there all over Maryland, which is where Johns Hopkins was. Now, I'm not saying Johns Hopkins did this, but I'm just talking about the pervasiveness in this particular area, and maybe, you know, all over. I don't know. I was just looking at this one state at the time, and Montgomery County, Prince Edward County, a lot of the counties. They had this for elementary school, this little songbook that they were teaching the youngsters, and they were teaching them the theme song from MASH. And everybody who's listening to this show now is probably humming that song, da 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 da, like that. What you don't know is that the youngsters were learning the words to the song, and the actual title was "Suicide is Painless." It says, you know, the game of life is over, you know, there's nothing in any way, and suicide is painful, like that. Why would you teach the little elementary school kids this song?
Well, of course, if you wanted to, I get them thinking about suicide. If you wanted to destroy their outlook of the world, give them a sense of hopelessness, that's exactly what you'd be doing.
Exactly, and if your listeners will just stop 1 minute, and however old you are, if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, it doesn't matter. Just for 1 second, stop for a minute, and think back to your, let's go into public schools. If you went to public school, in your high school, in your literature classes, in your English classes, all through high school, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, think of the books that you were assigned to read. You know, something like Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness and stuff like that. Most of them, if you think about it, were tragedies, you know, misery, somebody killing themselves or some, you know, horrible thing happening. Rarely did you have books assigned to you such as Booth Tarkington's 17, you know, a sort of light book, a well-written book. Booth Tarkington is a good author. But most of the time you'd have some, you know, horrible thing that you had to read, especially as symbolism. You must look for the deep inner symbolism of this tragedy that's going on. And if you fill a youngster's mind with that sort of thing, you're going to have consequences. In fact, there was one of the pieces I wrote up was by an attorney who later became a judge, named Ellen Morfonius, and she was talking about a Carnegie-funded project, and we can get to that after the break.
And I never forget when my granddaughter, I paid for her to go to a Christian school, and when my granddaughter began telling me about one of the books, I went out and bought it. And I tell you, after reading the book, as an adult, I wanted to commit suicide. It was the most depraved a book, a sense of hopelessness. And that is, of course, what they're filling our children's minds with, even in Christian schools, but it's a classic for all the public schools. Wonderful type of education if you want to destroy their souls.
Our four tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and Dr. Cuddy was just talking about the type of literature that is being recommended in our high schools across America that is aimed at having a psychological impact on our children and giving them that feeling that no good deed will ever go unpunished, that life is simply a matter of quiet desperation, a matter of hopelessness. Why are they pushing this sort of thing in our schools? You would think they would want to have stories about heroes and greatness and nobility and courage, but that's not the sort of thing that's being stressed today. It's dark and depraved and I believe dangerous to the mental health of our children. Go ahead, Dr. Cuddy.
Absolutely. There was the health education curriculum in the state where I am, and one of the things they had in there was it was called a news poem from the New York Times, and basically this poem that all the youngsters were having a look at was these parents told a girl to do something with her dog, and she didn't, and so they gave her this gun and said, now go shoot your dog, and she wound up shooting herself. You know, I mean, what is the lesson from that? Or the lottery, or the jungle, or these sort of so-called classics works that, you know, in the jungle, I think the lion is devouring the youngster's parents, and the child thinks this is wonderful, you know, because his parents were mean to him and so on. And then, before the break, I mentioned what's something called Project READ, R-E-A-D. It's supposed to teach inner city youth how to read, and you would do this by teaching, you know, the sounds and symbols and the relationships of words. And so, but the way they would do it is they'd have porch, P as in Peter, O R C H, and they'd be teaching, you know, the word porch. And so the way they would teach it is they have a little picture and they have a rhyme, and they have this little African American child, and he have this torch, and he'd be lighting a porch. He'd say, "Torch the porch." And so, I mean, what, you could think of a thousand ways to teach the word porch without having a child with a torch torching the porch. And this, the judge I mentioned, Ellen Morfonia, said this has to be some sort of conspiracy, you know, to cause these kids to become violent. And in case you think that's, you know, something isolated, I would challenge you. Whoever's listening, you know, go to your school library, middle school or high school, and just ask the school library, do you have a book called Pigman? P-I-G-M-A-N. Chances are really good, whoever you are, wherever you are, that book's in your school library. And you don't have to read the whole thing. Just read the first few pages. And what you find out is the premise of this thing is this: these wild kids are bombing the restrooms in schools and getting away with it, and they think that's great. Now, if we're trying to keep our, you know, discipline problems down, and we're trying to reduce violence in the country, why have we got that book in every school library?
Yeah, it's sort of like, why did the USAID send books, $52 million worth of books, pushing the radical Islamic faith to the kids in the Afghan schools all during the 1980s? If you doubt that, we've got the articles out of the U.S., out of Washington Post going into that. They call it the ABCs of Jihad, telling how wonderful it was to kill and get blown up and destroyed and give your life for Allah. Why were we pushing that in Afghan kids? Why are we pushing in America what we're pushing on our kids?
That's right. And so, picking up briefly, because I want to touch on one other subject before the time's up, the next thing I do is a quote from a Georgia State Senator, Nancy Schaefer, a fine lady. She has a newsletter that comes out of her office. And this particular one says, "We're medicating our kids to death." And what she says is, and you pay attention to the words, she says, "Children are coerced into mental health screening." Now remember, oftentimes they don't force you, you know, they don't grab you by the collar and haul you down and make you do something, but you're coerced into doing it. And then they're giving forced into or coerced into psychiatric treatment. After that, they can be prescribed rather dangerous psychotropic drugs. I've given examples of what's happened to some youngsters. You know, your parents are going to have to put you on Ritalin, or else, you know, the Child Services Agency will come and there'll be a knock on the door and so forth. And then you'll have millions, she says, of these youngsters diagnosed with some alleged mental disorder. Remember, we've talked in the previous series, part of this series, about how if you have some sort of disagreement with people, this is an anti-authoritarian trait, and we might have to characterize you as having a mental disorder, and you would need treatment. Or she says, if you're easily distracted, you talk out of turn in class, you don't follow directions. And so she says, look, we need to stand up as parents. Parents' rights in this area must be protected. Parental notification must be made a priority in our nation. And children belong to parents. Their parents, not the state. And what she says next is, children are not the property of the state. Remember, they're very sneaky about this. What they do sometimes is the state doesn't come in and say, we're taking your child, although they often do that. What they'll do is say, well, you know, we need to form a partnership. You know, we're going to help you. We'll help you with parenting skills. We'll come into your home and assist you in devising a schedule so that you will understand your child's real needs. You know, we have all these experts and these PhDs, and they'll tell you, you know, what the studies have said, and we'll all work together. And so what you have to guard against not only is the sort of frontal assault, but the indirect assault as well. And so she concludes her quote here by saying, in the United States alone, 8 million children and adolescents are on mind-altering drugs that put them at risk of violent and suicidal side effects, end quote.
8 million children in America. And a lot of those drugs will do permanent harm to those children's minds.
Absolutely. Now, because the program's sort of winding down, if I could change subjects just a minute. What happened today was something rather interesting in the U.S. Senate. And it's a total change of subject. But what happened was there was a big confrontation between the Democratic leader, Reid, Senator Reid, and Bill Frist of the Republicans, and the Democrats pulled a parliamentary maneuver going into a closed session, saying we now are going to force an examination of the intelligence that caused us to go into Iraq. And the only reason I'm bringing that up is because in the past we've talked about these things as well. And one of the books that you offer of mine is called Cover Up. And if any of you have it, you can look. If you don't have it, you should get it from Radio Liberty. On page 78, now I would reiterate, this book came out just before the war began. All right, now you've got Don Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, and this brain trust up there, and all the CIAs and DIAs and all of this intelligence. Now supposedly these people are extremely smart and have far more resources than Dr. Stan or I have. But here in this book, on page 78, before the war began, what I included is an important quote that was, you're not going to find it in the Washington Post, New York Times, you're not going to find it there. This actually comes from the New Zealand Sunday Star Times, and it was titled, Iraqi Ghost Army Awaits U.S. Fighters. And what this did was quote a Lieutenant General Tawfiq al-Yassiri, and he's a person who in 1991 took part in an uprising against Saddam, and he fled, obviously, and now heads a council of exiled officers. And what he said before the war began, this is February 4th, just before the war began the next month, March of 2003. He said, those who are betting that Saddam will be defeated quickly are mistaken. Tens of thousands of elite Iraqi forces have spread underground, above ground, in farm schools, mosques, churches, everywhere. They are not in camps or major installations. These units are prepared for city warfare, in other words, guerrilla warfare, and have the experience for it. And it went on to quote another exiled officer saying that some of the best-trained Iraqi units are, quote, are vicious. They were trained in Europe and do not even wear uniforms, end quote, making it difficult for American soldiers to know who they are. So clearly here before the war, we see what's going to happen. It's not going to be the usual campaign where 300,000 Iraqi forces go out into the desert in their tanks and whatever and challenge us in battle formation. But it's very clear that there's going to be this guerrilla warfare. And so what's important to realize going into this is not what Don Rumsfeld say, well, you know, we go to war with what we got. In other words, if you don't have armor plating on your Humvees or Bradley vehicle or whatever.
Or you don't have a bulletproof vest for your people so to protect them from being shot, hey, you send them out without any protection.
That's right.
Well, why do you go to war when you're risking your soldiers?
If you think about it, this is the first war that I can think of in history where it doesn't really matter how strong you are, how intelligent you are, how well trained you are. I mean, at least in Vietnam, which was a guerrilla warfare, you know, if you went through rigorous training on how to creep along, you know, and be camouflaged, at least that helped. In this particular case, you can be the strongest, most intelligent, most well-trained person, and what really determines whether you live or die is whether you happen to be in a vehicle that's not armed, not well-armed, at a particular place, on a particular road, at a particular time. And so this is a totally different type of warfare, and now through sophisticated weaponry, they've shown on the news the last couple of nights, where material has been coming from Hezbollah and Iran that are called shaped charges. Some of these are even 600-pound devices. Where even if you have 4-inch thick armor plating, these things go about 100 yards a second and can even pierce those. Now, if this is the way 2/3 of our men, and that's the statistic now, for the last couple of months or so, 2/3 of our men have been killed by this, you would think that somebody planning for this thing, the intelligence going into this war, would have thought of that in advance and not had this sort of cavalier attitude was, the Commander-in-Chief has ordered us, so even though we don't have all this stuff, let's go anyway. It's in my opinion, it's totally irresponsible.
Well, I think not only that, but they lied to get us into it. Lyndon Johnson lied to get us into Vietnam. They certainly lied to get us into Korea. They lied to get us into the First World War. Why should we be surprised that they lied to get us into this war? And who is going to be held responsible? Absolutely no one. And an awful lot more people are going to die, both Americans and Iraqis. And why are we concerned about the Iraqi civilians who are dying? Have they committed some terrible crime? And will God, of course, continue to bless a country that advocates the use of torture on prisoners? I think we're in real trouble, and I'm really concerned, Dr. Cuddy, because there's no outcry from the Christian leaders of this country. In fact, they're all backing this war, because the White House is calling the leaders of the Christian community on a regular basis, briefing them on this just and noble war that we're engaged in to bring democracy to the people of the Middle East and the world.
Well, the problem with that, and again, you would think somebody with some planning, and this is why I'm mentioning it, because this is going to be a big topic in the next few days. In fact, Senator Frist said, okay, you know, we'll have your hearings, we'll have your investigation on the intelligence and going into the war. Is if we are to believe what they said about democracy, and, you know, I want to qualify that by saying our founders rejected democracy because it's really mobocracy, it's the rule of the majority. If, you know, 51% say people with, you know, blue eyes die tomorrow, then people with blue eyes die tomorrow. So we rejected that. We're a constitutional republic. Even our constitution was rejected initially until we had a Bill of Rights guaranteeing minority rights, you know, so that we didn't have the, quote, tyranny of the majority, as it was called. And so, but, however, since they were using that word, President Bush and Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld, all of these, so we're bringing democracy. If they really believe that, they had to know that, quote, democracy through majority rule would mean the imposition of a Shiite sectarian law. Now, how did they think that the Sunnis were going to react to that? How would Protestants in this country react if they had to live under Catholic sectarian law, or vice versa, if Catholics had to live under Protestant sectarian law? But there's no discussion of this. There seems to be no planning. We just say, well, you know, majority rule, this is a wonderful thing, the people overthrow Saddam and we'll be welcomed as liberators. But at some point, and I think in one previous program I mentioned this, at some point one has to start thinking, these people really can't be that dumb, our planners. You really can't believe that somebody would go in there without a plan and a timetable to reestablish, you know, potable water, the electricity back, if you're going to let the 400-man army go, or, you know, disband them, or even if they disband themselves. What are you going to do with them? Is there a jobs program? Are they going to have some sort of income if you're going to disband them or allow them to disband?
You're talking about the 400,000-man
right.
Iraqi army, which we destroyed after promising the Iraqi leaders we wouldn't. Why would we promise them one thing and do another? Would they trust us after that?
No. And how would you provide security for the? How would you seal the Syrian border or the Iranian
but
border?
Maybe, Dr. Cuddy, that was never the plan. Maybe the plan was to create a chaotic situation so that we could justify staying there for years and years. And even Condoleezza Rice is saying, well, we'll probably be there 10 years from now. And where is the outcry from the American people?
Yeah, at some point, the point I guess I was making was at some point, you know, after point, you know, where was the plan for the Shiite imposition of Sharia law on the Sunnis? Where was the plan for the electricity? Where was the time? Where was the, at some point, you get to a point where you say, you know, they can't be this stupid.
I don't think they are. I think they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people or the American military to know. 50% of the casualties are now in the National Guard. They're
right.
Sending them in to be slaughtered. Why aren't they using the regular army? Because they want them for other purposes. So they're sending our National Guard over there, who should be here to guard us in case of national emergencies, and they're sending to die 50% of the casualties today are the reserves of the Guard, not in the regular army, because, of course, they're the mercenaries.
And that crunch is going to come, too, because we're coming up very soon against that wall where you're not going to have enough recruits. They're already, I think the Army at least, is not meeting its recruitment criteria that they're having. And so you're going to come up against a stress point fairly soon. This is going to hit a crunch in about 6 months or so when, you know, reenlistment comes up and people aren't going to be reenlisting.
But, of course, Dennis, they're enlisting mercenaries in Peru. They're enlisting mercenaries in South America. They're enlisting mercenaries in South Africa. There are over 20,000 mercenaries, professional killers over there. Paid with our tax money. Don't feel bad, though. They brought some of them over from the Blackstone Group when they had the situation in Katrina, and they brought them into professional mercenaries from Iraq were brought in to maintain law and order in New Orleans.
Yes, they are. They're bringing more and more foreign troops. I think Danish troops, Norwegian troops, and so forth are coming in to help in the aftermath of Katrina. So it's getting you used to it. You're having military exercises with Russian troops at Fort Riley, Russian troops and other troops at Fort Polk in Louisiana down there, that same area.
But why aren't the Republicans, where is the Republican opposition? Why do we have to look upon the Democrats? And I have never voted Democratic. Why do we have to look at them to ask the questions that the Republicans should be asking? And why are our church leaders demanding that these things be investigated? Why do we have to look to the politicians? Where are the Christian leaders?
Because, as you said a few minutes ago, there's no sense of accountability or responsibility for failure in education, for failure in military policy, for failure of 9/11. Nobody is being held accountable or responsible, and that really comes back to us, to we the people. We are not holding our representatives responsible.
Amen to that. There's a lot that we could do if we had the courage to do it. Dr. Cuddy, we're out of time. But thank you so much. It's always a pleasure having you here.
Thanks for having me.
God bless. Bye-bye.
You too.
All right, well, that was Dr. Dennis Cuddy, certainly one of my favorite guests. And we got a little off the subject there, but you need to get his material on mental health, and when we get back, we'll tell you how to get it right here at Radio Liberty.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. Or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. If you really want to understand the background to the our going to war, we put our newsletters into actually three booklets. Foreknowledge 911, Part 1, Part 2, Part 3. Three of them together are only $9.95 plus shipping. We have other booklets on the history of money. We are a republic on genetic engineering. They're all only $3.95. You need to get them. You need to read them. You need to reread them. You need to check the sources. and then help us get the truth out. We have a great DVD. It's entitled The Coming Financial Crisis. And if you're worried about your family, you will certainly want to get that. Now, we do carry Dr. Cuddy's book, Cover Up. We carry his book, NEA Power Grab. We carry, and we only have a few more copies of these because the company that put these out has gone under, and I don't know that we'll ever be able to get any more, and we only have a few more in stock. Now is the dawning of the new world, new age, new world order. We actually do print up copies of his book, The Timeline to the New World Order for Education, and, of course, we print his book, Road to Socialism. Both of those are available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Now we have his new book on mental health screening. That's mental health screening. And then we, of course, we have a book, which is mental health screening, parts 1 through 4. So all of these are available from Radio Liberty. And let me tell you, in my estimation, there is no finer researcher in the country than Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and believe me, I know most of the people are on the front lines of this battle. So we're privileged to have him as a guest. We're privileged to have him as a friend. We're privileged to be able to carry his books. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. What is really behind what's going on today? Organized evil. There really are secret societies. There really have been these ancient mystery religions, and one of their goals was to bring about world democracy. And when you listen to George Bush speak, we're not a democracy. So why do they want to bring democracy there? Because it has always been the objective of the ancient mystery religions. If you doubt that, you need to get a book we carry. It's written by a Satanist. His name was Manly P. Hall. It's The Secret Destiny of America. It's certainly in the off of a catalog items. We want you to know we carry these, The Secret Teachings of All Ages by Manly P. Hall, The Secret Destiny of America, The Lost Keys of Freemasonry, talking about the Luciferian background of this. But certainly if you want to know about this idea of democracy, Manly P. Hall will tell you that for thousands of years, the ancient secret societies have worked to bring about world democracy. And when you see what's going on in Iraq, it really doesn't make any sense, unless you understand there is a timetable drawing us into World War III. People are already fleeing out of Syria. They're taking their money out. Some of the biggest financiers in Syria have left. Why? Because they know the attack is coming. And, of course, the people in Iran realize that war is coming. But remember, when we bring war to the Middle East and inflame the entire Islamic world against us, why, I think we're going to see terrible things here in America, because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. So we hope many of you will want to get our information. Now, go to our website at radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there 5 hours a day, radioliberty.com. Pull down our newsletters. They're free. Copy them. Distribute them. Tell others about our programs. Remember, of course, we are having an all-day seminar here on the 19th of November, right here in the Monterey Bay Area. We're bringing in outside speakers, and it'll be a great time, but you have to have reservations because we're going to be serving lunch. Call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Remember, we do actually carry the Big Berkey products. And if you'd like, of course, you get them you get them through us. While you'll get a free video or free 4-tape set if you get the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light. And then, of course, please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, because we're on the front lines of this battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And so until tomorrow, when we'll be with you once again, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.